Cigars in Cinema.
Will you bring in the cigars, please?
The movie review podcast that tackles the smoky side of cinema.
Cigar, mate!
Each week, we review a movie that contains, in some way, shape, or form, someone smoking a cigar.
Cigars.
Fire is good.
We'll talk about who smoked it, where they smoked it, how they smoked it, and we'll probably make fun of them if they have no idea what they're doing.
What are you doing? You never light a cigar that way.
So sit back, light up, and enjoy the podcast that has it all. Cigars.
Cigar. Smoke it.
Smoke it.
Movies.
Say hello to my little friend.
And General Mayhem.
My doggie.
Hey, everybody. This is Brandon Luna.
This is Randy Rankin.
And this is Cigars in Cinema, the holiday edition.
Yes.
Thanksgiving, baby.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
We're a day late and a dollar short, but that's okay. We just, you know, family gets in the way. Time gets in the way. It's Thanksgiving. Absolutely. It's that crazy time.
Yeah.
Did you go out and do all the Black Friday shopping today?
No.
That was like priority for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. I was there at Walmart at midnight. No.
Specs. Specs Black Friday or any of those liquor places Black Friday. That'd probably be kind of fun.
That would be cool.
Speaking of which, we are drinking some booze today.
Yeah. The J.R. Ewing Bourbon. Bourbon? Not Berwin. Bourbon.
Burble?
J.R. Ewing Bourbon.
Bourbon.
Whatever that means.
Okay.
Bourbon. I guess I've had a little too much of this J.R.
Ewing Bourbon. But today we're reviewing a classic. It's one of the ones that, I think everybody watches yearly, I hope.
Yes.
And if you don't, you're crazy, because it is a fantastic movie, and it is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yep.
During holiday travel, some people get delirious. Some get delayed. And some get Del Griffin.
American Light and Fixture, Director of Sales, Shower Curtain Ring Division.
Neil Page got all three.
I was on my way home to spend a nice holiday with my family. Instead, I'm in a motel bed with a stranger.
So instead of Thanksgiving with his family, he's spending 3 days with the turkey.
Two happy clams just whistling down the road.
Flintstones, meet the Flintstones, they're the Marconi family.
Paramount Pictures presents
Wilma!
Steve Martin.
Ever been to Hawaii?
Yeah.
You see Don Ho while you were there?
See the second show, that's the best one.
Is that right?
Yeah.
John Candy.
Why are you holding my hand? Where's your other hand? Between two pillows.
Those aren't pillows.
In a new film by John Hughes. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
See that Bears game last week?
Yeah, hell of a game, hell of a game.
That's a classic, man.
Yeah.
What Absolutely. A great flick. I mean, this is, can you think of any other Thanksgiving movies that are kind of iconic?
Not that are iconic.
No?
There's a really good one called Rent a Kid.
Rent a Kid?
With Leslie Nielsen. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Probably one of the last really funny things he did. It was a Disney Channel movie, but it was still really
funny. Nice, made-for-TV deal?
Yeah.
Anybody in that we know? Anybody else?
Matt McCoy.
Okay. Yeah, I know Matt McCoy. Yeah. Seinfeld. He was the Chinese gum guy.
Yeah. And he's been in a bunch of other stuff, too. But, those are the two famous. Oh, Christopher Lloyd was in it also.
Oh, yeah. I like Christopher Lloyd.
Me, too.
Christopher Lloyd's cool.
We'll start with a little bit of a downer, and we'll get back up. This is another movie that my brother and I had memorized and would act out at family parties, and he did pass this past week. And so, once again, I'm going to dedicate it to him this episode, if that's okay, and then we'll move on. But, we had this memorized. He was always the John Candy character. I was the Steve Martin character.
Oh, yeah.
We had fun. It was cool.
This is probably one of my favorite John Hughes movies, because it wasn't...
it's easily my favorite John Hughes movie.
Yeah. Just because it wasn't the normal angsty teenager thing. It actually went outside of that and did something special, I thought. And, you know, it tackled a holiday that wasn't really represented in movies. I mean, there's a crap ton of Christmas movies. You can't even count them on all your fingers and toes, probably. But not that many Thanksgiving movies.
No.
You know?
And back to the John Hughes aspect of it. While it's a great comedy, he also always does that real... There's a lot of heart in the movie as well. He does a great job with that, as he did in Uncle Buck, as he did in this, you know, and as he
yeah.
in the teenage movies. But Yeah, this movie, to be honest, I did not like this movie the first time I watched it.
Really?
Did not like it. And ironically, Roger Ebert said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he even wrote a book on movies that I've trashed, basically, that I like now, and this was his number one that he did.
Wow. But
I did the same thing. I didn't like it. And that was, everybody at work kept telling me about how great this movie was.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched it, and first of all, I wanted to kick John Candy's ass, because he was a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And
we're supposed to be.
And I know. And Steve Martin, I thought, got mad like way too early mm-hmm. in some certain scenes. But then I'm telling everybody, man, this movie sucked. I'm like, well, didn't you like this scene? Well, yeah, that was kind of funny. Didn't you like this scene? Yeah, it was kind of funny. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go home and watch this thing again.
Yeah.
And I've loved it. And it's been, you know, it's a top five movie for me, without a doubt.
All right, so here are some other Thanksgiving movies. This is a list of the top 10 Thanksgiving movies, and this is from The Guardian. So we've got Home for the Holidays, Jodie Foster, black comedy. We've got The Ice Storm, which takes place during Thanksgiving, I don't even think of that. Miracle on 34th Street, the 47 version.
Yeah, it starts on Thanksgiving, but people think of that as a Christmas movie.
Exactly. Adam's Family Values, which takes place during Thanksgiving. But then again, these aren't like based. They may take place. It's like saying Die Hard's a Christmas movie. I always say that, and it pisses my wife off. But it takes place during Christmas, but it's not a Christmas movie. But you know, I will never admit that to her. Because she doesn't listen to the show, so that's fine. I'll get away with it forever.
Yeah, exactly.
Pieces of April is another one that takes place during Thanksgiving.
Okay.
That one has Katie Holmes and Patricia Clarkson, family feuding, mothers weaning.
Oh, I remember
health.
When it came out. I'm not.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving
dinner. I think
that was like her first movie after she divorced Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Rocky? Really?
Rocky?
Rocky?
Did that take place at Thanksgiving?
Yeah. Unplanned date after Adrian's brother thwarts her Thanksgiving cooking plans by throwing her turkey out the window.
Oh,
so it's got Thanksgiving in it. I wouldn't say it's a Thanksgiving movie. Still Alice. Grumpy Old Men.
Yeah,
that could pass, I guess. And then number one was, not number one. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is listed. And then Scent of a Woman.
What?
This list is horrible.
That is the worst list lists.
Why would you put Scent of a Woman above Planes, Trains, and
Automobiles? If I were going to do a list of the worst lists, that would be the top of the list.
That would be one of the worst lists, yeah. This other list has Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Pieces of April. That's made with several lists, it looks like. National Treasure. I don't even know how that entails.
I don't remember that.
Incredibles. Yeah. Hannah and Her Sisters, which I remember does take place during Thanksgiving. The Rundown. No, come on. Meet Me in St. Louis.
I think people still think of that as a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Because it's got one of the most famous Christmas songs of all
time. Oh, The Mummy. That's right. The Mummy comes back because he wants to have turkey. It's all about Thanksgiving. It's not. I'm just saying that. I'm making that up. That's
I was going to say, I don't remember The Mummy, but I don't remember that part of it.
You don't remember him speaking in tongues and they put those translations. He's like, I must have turkey. That
I
was
don't
the whole.
Remember that?
No,
no.
Okay, because it didn't happen. I made it up. Elf. That's again Christmas.
Yeah.
I don't know. These lists are horrible. So really, what it boils down to is there's really only Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and none of these listed a big giant one that everybody missed.
What's that?
On both these lists,
Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. Of course, absolutely.
How can you not have the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving
wah,
special?
Wah, wah, wah,
yeah.
Wah.
I mean, it's not as good as the Christmas one. Let's be honest.
No.
The whole Peppermint Patty, like, forcing him to do Thanksgiving and then bitches about it because there's no turkey. I'm like, you're a bitch, Peppermint Patty. You're just a bitch.
But I just remember it from over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go.
She lives in a condo. I like that joke, but my daughter was like, I don't get it. I'm like, oh, come on.
Now, that's a great, obviously, classic.
Mm-hmm.
We've referenced two movies that I'm interested in.
Okay.
Or... It led me to talk about, and then we'll get back to Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but by mentioning Rocky, I definitely want to go see Creed.
I've heard really
good reviews on this movie.
I'd like to see it as well.
And I kind of want to see the Peanuts movie, even though I don't have kids. I'm a Charles M. Schulz fan. I want to see it.
I want to see it too, but I'll probably wait for video just because,
it's,
I kind of want to take my daughter to it, but at the same time, she's still too young to really enjoy it. She gets antsy.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a waste. It would be more for me than it would be for her at this point. So, I'll wait till video.
But I always loved the Peanuts stuff. Matter of fact, I bought them on Amazon not too long ago. I bought four volumes, and it starts right at the beginning.
Yeah.
And of all the Peanuts cartoons. And I'm only about halfway through it, but
Yeah, and it's a video. Like,
no, it's a book.
It's oh, a, it's okay, okay, gotcha. Comics. Oh, it's so it's comic. All the strips, all the yeah. all the Sunday strips and stuff.
And
that's cool.
I only got it for like 55 to 59, so I mean, yeah. I've got many more years of this stuff I can go through.
Some good bathroom reading there, man. Yeah,
yeah, yeah it is. And it's awesome. Yeah, you know, Snoopy didn't talk at the beginning. Or,
yeah.
Well, he never really talked, but, you know, he didn't hear his thoughts or anything.
Exactly, yeah.
He was just a dog. And Charlie Brown wasn't the loser everyone made him out to be at the beginning. Mm-hmm. He became that over time. But
yeah, he just kind of, they had to have a dichotomy there. I don't know. It was something there had to happen, I guess, for the comic to move forward, and it became the dog was the hero and the kid was a zero.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically what it kind of turned into. And I always felt bad for Charlie Brown. It's like, God, when's he going to get a break?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
It's like you want that one episode where he just like beats the crap out of Lucy and takes the ball. And,
right. And actually gets to kick the field goal.
Exactly.
And,
tells everybody to fuck off and sets the school on fire or something. Essentially, that's where he goes. If that happened nowadays, that's basically bullying. He's getting bullied the entire time and he's going to crack. He's going to become a mailman. He's going to shoot people. That's the life for Charlie Brown.
Yeah, and I want him to marry the little red-haired girl that he had the big crush on.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how they referred to her, was always the little red-haired girl.
You always figured if it kind of went to the high school days, she'd end up being a lesbian and his heart would be broken, you know? It's just like,
she
can't win for losing.
Instead.
Exactly. She's like, I like the butch type. He's like, no.
I always thought Charlie Brown and Lucy would actually wind up getting married.
Oh, yeah?
I always kind of thought that would happen.
That was, well, yeah, you got those relationships where it's like someone you hate and then you end up loving them. Yeah.
I've
had that situation before.
Yeah.
Those are pretty volatile, though.
Yeah.
But yeah. So Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Now, this is Cigars and Cinema, and technically there is no cigars in this movie, but we didn't want to review Home for the Holidays. So, and this is one of those beloved films, and there is a lot of cigarette smoking in it. John Candy smokes cigarettes in the movie, and he smoked them in real life. So, we'll just say that there is tobacco in the movie,
there
no cigars specifically.
Right.
Besides maybe the random person on the street that's smoking them or something, or cab driver or whatever.
Right. So I guess we need to set up the premise.
It's pretty simple, but
it's
go ahead
simple,
if you want.
But, Steve Martin is in, New York trying to get back to Chicago for the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Business meeting lasts long. He's in a hurry to get to the airport. Gets to the airport only to find that his flight's delayed anyway.
Well, on the way to the airport.
Well, yeah, John Candy steals his cab.
Which is a major plot point there.
And, also one of the weirdest cameos of all time is Kevin Bacon, just for a second, has nothing, says nothing in the whole film.
Yep.
But it's a very funny scene.
And oddly enough, he's dressed just like the character he played, and she's having a baby, which is another John Hughes movie.
Yeah.
So people were saying, like, oh, maybe he's a cameo as that character. But then later in the movie, the wife is watching TV, and she's having a baby is on.
Yeah.
Which is true. Okay, so I guess that's not it. It's one of those weird kind of funky little cameos.
Yeah,
like,
everybody
says he doesn't have a line of dialogue, but later in the movie, they're playing a scene from she's having a baby, and he has dialogue in that.
Yeah.
So does that count? I don't know.
That's kind of weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, John Candy's trying to get to Chicago also. Mm. They're on a plane. They wind up having to sit together. John Candy's the most annoying person on the planet.
Yep.
He talks all the time. He takes his shoes off on the plane. I mean, you know, just...
He's basically the embodiment of the noise that Jim Carrey makes.
Yeah. He's...
Dumb and Dumber.
Exactly. But...
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they're trying to get... But because of weather, they get bumped to Wichita, Kansas.
Yep.
The Braidwood Inn. I'll always remember the name of that hotel. Never stayed there, and hopefully never will.
Mm.
But they wind up, there's only one room, so they have to stay together. They have to sleep in the same bed.
Mm.
And the whole movie's then about them trying to get back to Chicago. And, of course, hijinks ensue, of course, as, you know, or there wouldn't be a movie. But it's the dynamic between the two. Like I said, the first time I just must have been in a bad mood. But since then, I love their chemistry in this movie. It's really amazing.
Yeah.
Even when Steve Martin gets mean and goes off on him, John Candy brings out the heart.
Yeah.
And so then, and Steve Martin, you can tell, feels bad when he does that, you know. But God, there's some great scenes. You got any clips or what?
I do. I got a clip of the snoring scene. So I'll play that right now. Just weird snoring noise. Hold on. If you listen closely, it sounds like shaving haircut almost.
Yeah, it does. It does.
That's what right there. Yeah.
Shaving haircut.
Why? What? That's it. If I don't clear my sinuses, I'll snore all night. Gee, if your kid spills his milk, what do you do? Slap him in the head?
What? 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 What is that supposed to mean?
You're not a very tolerant person.
You're not a very tolerant person.
Jeez, when a kid spills a smoke, what do you do, hit him in the head?
Exactly. That's a great scene. And it leads into, I guess that's it just one. I mean, it he has a rant that is pretty epic. And it ends with one of those moments where you realize that John Candy's actually a really good actor. Yeah. You know, it's like a lot of people didn't really give him a whole lot to do. They just saw him as a comedic guy, but he has that I like me speech, and I've got that right here, so I'm going to play that real quick.
Okay, cool.
You want to hurt me? Go right ahead if it makes you feel any better. I'm an easy target. Yeah, you're right. I talk too much. I also listen too much. I could be a cold-hearted cynic like you. But I don't like to hurt people's feelings. Well, you think what you want about me. I'm not changing. I like me. My wife likes me. My customers like me. Because I'm the real article. What you see is what you get.
That's good stuff, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, you know, for him to come out and say that and make him just feel like a total ass, basically.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Not, what's funny is that little kind of breakdown happens in about the first third of the movie, and usually when you have this type of, you know, mm-hmm. relationship, it takes a while for that to really break, and then they have the makeup part almost right after.
Right.
But they have their big blowout like really early in the movie, and they pretty much have the whole movie to just hate each other. You know?
Exactly.
And it slowly but surely kind of the relationship kind of grows, and you know, little things happen. They get separated. He helps them again later with holding the trunk and stuff. And,
yeah.
So it's interesting. The structure of the movie is different than what you would expect for this type of movie.
It really is. And maybe that was what I wasn't connecting with the first time, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, Steve Martin's got, you know, this to me, you can correct me if you can think of something else, but this is like the first time Steve Martin played the straight man. He'd been the wild and crazy guy most of the time, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Between the jerk and everything else he'd done, he was always
the brains and you know, all this stuff. And this one, he's the serious guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he nailed it. I mean, he was incredible in the role.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, John Candy brings the heart. Mm-hmm. And there's just so many funny parts in that movie.
Yeah, there is. And it's one of these where they run into so many colorful people. And I think that's what I like about John Hughes is he does. Okay, so there's certain directors that have just too many colorful characters. One of the ones nowadays that I always think of is Michael Bay. He loads his movies with all these colorful characters that really don't move the plot along. Mm-hmm. But they're so over the top, and they take up so much time that it just extends the life of his movies, and they're horrible.
Yeah.
But what John Hughes does with it is they're little moments, little character traits that people get that just set them apart, that make you remember them, like Gus's son, which I'll play that clip real quick, just a small little clip about what he
does. That's still in
bed. Are you Gus's son?
I'm Owen.
That noise he makes.
Oh, no.
Whatever the hell that is. Yeah, so I mean, just stuff like that you don't really see in every other movie just sets it apart.
It's just so funny because you see Dylan Baker now and stuff, and you're like, really? That was him?
And yeah, that was him.
He went to SMU.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, the scene with the glove and the dog cracks me up. Yeah. Give him the goddamn glove! You wanted a dog. There's just so many funny stuff. My cousin and I were traveling on a bus, a Greyhound from Seattle to Dallas.
Oh, God.
And we rode with Del Griffith.
Oh,
there
yeah?
was a guy for half the trip. Big, heavy guy, had his hair kind of curly.
Yeah.
Would not leave us alone. And I remember saying, oh, my God, we're with Del Griffith. And my cousin's like, yes, we are. Was hilarious.
That's cool.
Yeah. Oh man. Oh, what's some of your favorite bits from the?
I love the part when he falls asleep and he moves over
car,
in the other
he's
lane.
Trying to change his...
People are trying to tell him you're in the wrong lane. He's like, yeah, whatever. You're drinking.
And yeah. And they're like, you're going the wrong way. Says we're going the wrong way. Oh, how would they know where we're going?
Exactly.
Oh yeah. How would they know? Thank you. Thank you very much. That was awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
When the car burns down and he realizes his wallet's in there and mm-hmm. he's like,
it burns down and just burns his wallet up. Yeah, there's so many great like, moments.
He goes, well, somehow your Diners Club card got in mm-hmm. my wallet. He's like, he goes, you stole it. He goes, no, I thought you put it there. Well, how would I put it there? Kindness?
Kindness? I mean, that's one of the weird things that a lot of people don't notice about this movie, but they show a lot of Steve Martin's thought process. Uh-huh. You know, it's like, and a lot of movies kind of go cheap with it, where they'll just like, you know, if he thinks about something, they'll show a scene earlier in the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, the one that cracked, I couldn't stop laughing the first time I saw this in the theater. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, because it wasn't necessarily that funny, but it was the way they did it, where mm-hmm. he looks at the guy and he recognizes Dale at the airport as the guy who stole his cab. Mm-hmm. He's like, it's the guy who stole my cab. Instead of showing the scene of him in the cab, they put a door frame over his face.
And he does that surprise look.
He does that surprise look, and I was just laughing. I was cracking up.
No, that is a funny scene.
But they do a lot of that in this movie, where it's just like he flashes back to stuff.
Or the scene when they're driving in between the two trucks.
Yeah, and the skeletons and stuff.
And he's the devil. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, he's the devil. Yeah, he sees him as the devil. But that's not something you really kind of see in movies.
No.
But it works because it puts you into his mindset of, you know, you're along the ride as Steve Martin, basically,
right.
As his inner person.
Right.
And then you see it through his eyes, and it just cracks me up.
You know, and there's the only movie that I think that's similar, ironically enough, Steve Martin was in the remake, but Out of Towners with Jack Lemmon in it. Very similar kind of movie. And, you know, when you're traveling, all the bad things that can happen to you when you're traveling. But,
yeah.
You know. I saw Steve Martin on Arsenio Hall a few years after John Candy died, and he still couldn't talk about him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He started crying.
Wow.
Yeah. So he said that, yeah, they hit it off so well in that movie that, you know, that's his favorite movie because he got to work with John.
Yeah, cool. I believe it. And then there's the infamous pillows scene,
the most quoted part of the movie. Yeah,
which sure. I do have the clip, so I'll play that real quick here.
Dell.
Oh.
Oh. Why did you kiss my ear?
Why are you holding my hand?
Where's your other hand?
Between two pillows.
Those aren't pillows.
See that Bears game last week?
Yeah, hell of a game, hell of a game. Bears got a great team this year. They're gonna go all the way.
Oh, yeah.
Bears got a great team this year. They're gonna go all the way,
yeah.
Such a guy thing to do.
And that was an ad lib. That was
an ad lib.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Oh, man, I love it.
That's
such
awesome.
A great flick, man.
It is.
Such a great flick.
Yeah. Those aren't pillows. Yeah, that's awesome.
And then the other infamous scene, and this scene, you know, you always want to see have you ever seen the TV version of this? Of this movie?
Yeah, it's a lot longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they have like an extra scene in the airplane when he's trying to eat and the girl puts her hair all in his food and stuff. And
it's
actually a cool scene. I like the scene.
Yeah.
But the you're fucked scene is what we'll call it.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that they would have like a version of it where they change the words out, but they just cut it. I mean, it's just they cut it like really badly.
And that's my favorite scene.
Yeah.
Because it's finally like he finally lost it.
Yeah, and it's that thing that everybody wants to do, but very few people actually do.
Yeah,
and it's really him saying fuck like 18 times.
Yeah,
and if that scene hadn't been there, if he had not said it, but she said you're fucked, it still would have been a PG-13 movie.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but that one scene made that movie rated R.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting that they chose to do that.
Yeah.
But. There's no other instance of that word throughout the entire movie, so that's the only time it's said.
Which
kind of
makes it more
significant. It makes it more funny,
yeah.
So I'll play that clip real quick here.
Welcome to Marathon. May I help you?
Yes.
How may I help
you? You can start by wiping that fucking dumbass smile off your rosy fucking cheeks. Then you can give me a fucking automobile, a fucking Datsun, a fucking Toyota, a fucking Mustang, a fucking Buick, four fucking wheels and a seat.
I really don't care for the way you're speaking to me.
And I really don't care for the way your company left me in the middle of fucking nowhere with fucking keys to a fucking car that isn't fucking there. And I really didn't care to fucking walk down a fucking highway and across a fucking runway. Get back here to have you smile at my fucking face.
I want a fucking car right fucking now.
May I see your rental agreement?
I threw it away.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, what?
You're fucked.
My favorite is the very beginning part.
Yeah.
You'd start by wiping that fucking dumbass smile off your rosy fucking cheeks.
I mean,
that just sets it up. You know, yeah. Oh, shit, he's about to go off here.
You couldn't cast a better person to play her, too. Yeah, I mean,
What happened to Edie McClure? She was big there for a while, you know?
She was in all those, like, you know, John Hughes movies. She was the secretary in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Yeah. And he's a righteous dude, you know.
And she was the next door neighbor on the Hogan Family.
She does voice work a lot.
Does she?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's really about it.
But you saw her in a bunch of stuff there for a while.
Yeah, she really was, yeah.
I'm shocked I remembered her name. That just popped into my head. Like,
yeah, that's good stuff. Good stuff.
Oh, man.
So what are some of your favorite bits?
Well, that's my favorite.
That's your favorite bit?
That's my favorite. I love the scene when, like, John Candy's trying to take his coat off in the car while Steve Martin's sleeping. That cracks me. And he gets caught.
Yeah.
Because I've done that before, not while driving, but I know that just being a pet, take it off. Because those handles that they used to have on cars back in the 70s and 80s, you know. And he'd be like, oh, crap. And he'd be, like, caught. And so then he'd try to reach over and that would get caught. And he'd be like, crap.
Yeah. But
to be doing it while you're driving cracks me up. And you know how he almost has the wreck and Steve Martin wakes up. He's like, what happened? Like, oh, we almost hit a deer. That's all. Yeah. You got to take your park off. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. So funny. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Oh, God. The movie's chock full of them. There's no, you know, I even like the little simple scenes when they're sitting there in the hotel room and they're finally buddies now, you know, and they're drinking the little bottles of booze, eating Doritos. I love that scene. That's just a very heartfelt scene. And, that one gets me.
Yeah. That's a great scene. Yeah. That's a great scene. And that's where you get to see kind of,
I felt like I got those griddle marks on my ass.
That's where you get to see, you start to see some of the chinks in John Candy's armor, you know, like little hints and stuff here where he's not who he says he is, you know,
he's crazy about his wife, you know, you know, he travels a lot. You know, it's
kind of like us.
Yeah,
if you think about it. Kind of like us. Just saying, road, the hardest road.
Wife from the hardest road.
Yep.
But very heartfelt ending. That'll get you.
Yeah, that'll get you. It gives you the feels.
Yeah,
for sure.
And I don't know. Just one of the greatest movies. Ever.
It's the only Thanksgiving movie that gives me the feels, and then the as opposed to the only Christmas, which is you know, It's a Wonderful Life. So
I'll have to find Rent-A-Kid for you, see if I can find it.
Yeah, Leslie Nielsen.
Like that. Yeah, it's really cute.
I like Leslie Nielsen. I think I'd dig that.
Yeah.
So
and he's hilarious. The whole premise of that is that he owns a rent-a-center, you know, kind of errands, kind of rent-to-own kind of thing, and he rents everything. Well, his son runs an orphanage, and his son wants to take a vacation for Thanksgiving, so he has his dad, Leslie Nielsen, run the orphanage. And so Leslie Nielsen's thinking, why don't we rent kids? That way, if a couple can find out if they like having kids, and if not, they can always return them.
Wow.
Oh, wow. So the Matt McCoy character and his wife decide, yeah, okay, so they rent these kids. It's hilarious.
Wow.
And Leslie Nielsen has some funny lines in it, too. So, yeah, I have to find that. It's a funny movie.
All right, we ready for some IMDb trivia?
Sure.
All right, here we go.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
That's the fact, Jack! That's the fact, Jack!
No horseshit, Jack. No horseshit.
Lots of trivia on this flick. We've got some things here from the IMDb list. Steve Martin's favorite film of his own. And John Candy's favorite film of his own. So that says a lot right there about this particular movie. This is funny. No transportation company wanted to appear inept or deficient in any way. So the crews had to rent 20 miles of train tracks, refurbish old railroad cars, construct a set that looked like an airport terminal, design rent-a-car company logos and uniforms, and rent 250 cars for the infamous rent-a-car sequence. Wow.
Wow. Like,
nowadays, people would have been chomping at the bit to get their name all over this movie. So, Steve Martin was convinced to join the production after favoring two scenes that he'd read in the script. Seat adjustment scene in the car, which is the one you mentioned, and the F-word tirade at the car rental desk.
Well, that's cool. Those are my two favorite
scenes. Exactly, right. John Hughes in an interview on These Aren't Pillows DVD edition.
Okay.
Those Aren't Pillows DVD. That's awesome. Said he was inspired to write the film story after an actual flight from New York to Chicago, where he was diverted to Wichita, Kansas, thus taking him 5 days to get home. So based on, and then, you know, you write what you know, is what they say a lot of times. Yep. Marathon car rental scene is exactly 1 minute long from the time Steve Martin starts his tirade to the time the attendant appears, ends the scene with "you're fucked." The word fuck is used, or fucking, is used 18 times.
Wow.
And the only time it is said in any other scene, no other scene, that's the only time it's ever said. So that's cool. The set for the house was built from scratch, consisting of 7 rooms and 5 months to complete, ended up costing $100,000, which angered Paramount executives and caused turmoil on the set. Why would they do that?
Why would they just use a house?
I know. I mean, it looked like the same friggin' house from Home Alone. You know, it's like, why did they bother doing that?
And the house my ex-wife grew up in looks identical to that house.
Oh, yeah?
And she grew up in Chicago, so it's kind of weird.
It's a Chicago thing. In the airport scene in Wichita, when the airport airline employee announces that the flight has been canceled, you can see on the board behind him, and you know who the guy
it's
is,
Ben Stein,
right?
Yeah,
it's Ben Stein. It says destination flight is nowhere. That's awesome. The exterior of the aircraft in flight. That they, when they show the shot, you know what that's from, right? It's it's basically they used a clip from Airplane.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It's like the same shot that they used over and over in Airplane to show the outside of the scene. That's cool. John Hughes shot over 600,000 feet of film, almost twice the industry average. Rumored to be a 3-hour version of the film floating around. It does indeed exist, although not in order. Moreover, it's a mess of footage that would take months, maybe years to put together. It was locked away in a Paramount vault, and according to Hughes, most of it has probably deteriorated by now.
Wow.
That sucks.
That does
suck. Well, you figure they would have done something like that, put all that stuff in the DVD or the Blu-ray or something.
Yeah.
John Hughes wrote the first draft of the screenplay in 3 days. His average writing time for screenplay at that time was 3 to 5 days with 20-something rewrites.
Wow.
Now, that's working, man.
That's working.
No kidding.
Yeah.
John Hughes' original choice for the train station and platform was the station in Kankakee. There you go.
That's a
place, Kankakee, Illinois, 60 miles south of Chicago. The cast and crew were there in town waiting for the weather cold enough to make snow, and several interior scenes were filmed at an abandoned warehouse using a covered set.
Wow.
John Candy and Steve Martin eat dinner on the plane in the scene that is not in the theatrical version. I was just talking about that.
Yeah.
It's in the TV version. Yeah. The lady puts her hair in his food and messes it all up. So, yeah. Many of the highway scenes were actually filmed on a stretch at the time, unopened highway, US 219, that runs between Buffalo and Springfield, New York. Cast and crew traveled from the Midwest to the East Coast and back to search for scenes that had to search for places with snow so they could film the scenes. Whenever they arrived, everything seemed to have melted. The shooting was hellish, and according to someone who worked on it, John Hughes's grumpy behavior only made it worse. So, one of Roger Ebert's great movies, after previously saying he hated it.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. Yeah.
Lyman Ward, Edie McClurg, and Ben Stein all appear in other John Hughes films, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. So the dad from Ferris Bueller and Ben Stein and the You're Fucked Lady. Movie She's Having a Baby had been on TV in the motel scene, even though the film hadn't been released yet.
Oh, that's interesting.
Both that and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles feature Kevin Bacon and John Candy in them. The scene shot at the Lambert Airport in St. Louis was shot during winter, but the weather was uncharacteristically warm in the mid-80s, so all the snow in the scene was trucked in. That would have pain in the asses to make movies, you know? A scene that was not included in the movie but featured in the trailer shows John Candy in the bathroom at the first motel. In the scene, he does, among other things, an impersonation of Elvis Presley, which he sings into a hairbrush.
Oh,
yeah, that's true. That wasn't. I remember that in the trailer, but it's not in the movie. Rural train station where Neil and Dell buy tickets for their ill-fated train ride, the same station that's seen in The Natural.
Oh, interesting.
And what was with that old man with the box of mice or whatever the hell was that? Did you notice that?
No.
And they're sitting at the train station. There's this old man sitting. Just watch the movie again, because we watched it over Thanksgiving. But there's this old man sitting next to him, and he's got a box, like a cardboard box. And there's just mice crawling in and out of a hole in the box.
Never.
And it looks like he's asleep.
Never.
I'm like, what the hell is that? It's so weird.
I'm going to have to check that
out. Yeah, it's just another one of those weird character things that's in there. You're like, what? What's the story with that guy, you know? When Del Griffith clears his sinuses in the motel room, his nose is whistling sounds, the final chords of Shave and Haircut. Yeah, so not crazy for thinking that, I guess. Del Griffith's large trunk footlocker contains a pillow and a picture of his wife.
Yep. That's it, huh?
That's it. And you notice all the stickers on there are from hotels.
Yeah.
It looks like they're from, like, you know, different countries, but they're just like hotel names and stuff, which is weird.
But it fits Dale's character.
Jerry Ryan was cast, but her part was cut from the final release. Interesting. Huh. Upon receiving the script through his agent, Steve Martin was surprised to discover the script's 145-page length, with a comedy typically aiming for 90 pages. When Martin met John Candy and John Hughes, he asked if the director had any intention of cutting the script. According to Martin, Hughes looked at Martin strangely and said, "Cutting," making Martin realize the director had no intention of cutting the script from 145 pages. So that's, I guess, why we got a three-hour version of it floating around there. Only rated PG in New Zealand, even though the 19 F-word tirade is still intact. So, interesting.
Interesting.
I wonder if their rating system is based more on violence and boobs.
Yeah.
Who knows? But, yeah, that's really about it. The rest of it's pretty basic stuff. Kevin Bacon, they mentioned him again in here. Michael McKean was a state trooper cameo. That was cool. Ian McClure gets a car rental agent. Yeah, that's pretty much it. So a lot of good stuff there. And John Hughes, you know, he's one of these directors you hear about that he was kind of difficult to work with, unless he was like everything was going his way. He was one of these guys that just kind of blew up a lot on the sets, which is funny because he makes movies that are completely entertaining to people. It's not like he's Martin Scorsese or something making these difficult, hard movies to watch.
And we keep talking about him in the present tense, but
he has passed. Sadly.
Yeah. And he kind of didn't do anything for the last several years.
He did a lot of script writing, but that was really about it. He wasn't directing anything or doing anything like that. So
he did some classics. Uncle Buck. This.
Yep. Breakfast Club. You know, 16 Candles. Yeah. The guy has a lot under his belt that people just absolutely love.
Nice resume.
Yep. Absolutely. Did you say Roots? He didn't do Roots.
I didn't say Roots.
Oh, I thought you said Roots. I'm like, Roots?
Roots.
Can you imagine if he directed Roots?
It'd be a totally different movie, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
God, Roots.
I thought I heard you say Roots.
I want to hear this episode so I can find out where the hell you thought I said. I know what the hell I said, but why you thought I said it.
That'd be so weird.
Roots. Yeah, that was my favorite John Hughes.
That was my favorite John Hughes. Yeah, when Kunta Kinte gets a shit kicked out of him. He won't change his name to Toby or whatever it was. What was the damn name they wanted to change?
I don't know. Was it Toby? I don't remember.
I don't know. That sounds right, but it's probably not.
No,
it
wasn't Toby. Oh, crazy. But, yeah, my favorite John Hughes movie by far, and arguably a top five movie, period, to me. Certainly top three comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's up there.
So did you have an okay Thanksgiving and given the circumstances?
It was fine. Yeah. It was fine. Okay. I do want to thank everybody for that commented, and it was overwhelming, and I appreciate it a lot.
Yeah.
And the ironic thing was there were so many cigar people.
Yeah, right.
Between stores and manufacturers and other sales reps. Blew me away.
That's one of the things that makes this industry great, man. It's like one big family. Once you get in, it's like a cigar mafia type thing, really, without the crime.
And then, you know, high school people that I haven't talked to in years.
Mm.
Jill Wagner.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Very cool.
I was shocked.
Yeah.
You know, when you're on Facebook and you get a notification, it pops up in the corner. And
it's
Jill Wagner commented on your post. I was like, what? Couldn't believe it. A lot of them made me cry. You know, very touching messages. Other than that, it was a fine Thanksgiving. I had a little meltdown last night, but it was my first Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's expected. Happened. I mean, it's going to take a while to mend those wounds.
But thank you, everybody. I appreciate the love and support. It was awesome.
Did you actually get to watch this movie this year, or was it too hard?
I watched part of most of it.
Yeah,
I watched most of it.
Yeah.
Now I gotta watch that mouse scene.
You missed it the first time. Yeah, it's not something
84,000 times.
Yeah,
never seen that.
Well, check it out. It's there. It's weird. It's there.
Notice. Okay. We've talked about that movie somewhere in time. Remember the old guy that ran the hotel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's the guy sitting next to Steve Martin on the plane.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's been in a ton of stuff too. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's been around for ages. Obviously, because
last
old.
I looked, he's still alive. But that was a few years ago that I looked that up. So I have no idea. That dude's been a ton of stuff. And he actually has a speaking line in the TV version. He didn't say anything in the theatrical version.
Yeah, during the whole dinner scene or eating on the plane scene. Yeah, he does have a line in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. This is one of those ones that, you know, it's just it's a must. It's a stop down, and it's not even for us. It's not even really a Thanksgiving movie. Yes, we watch it on Thanksgiving, but It's one that we'll watch a couple times a year.
Oh, if I see it on, I'm watching it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care what time of year it is either.
Yeah. You know, but see, are you that way with It's a Wonderful Life?
No.
Yeah.
I can't do it on It's a Wonderful Life. That movie jars me so much that it's like I can only watch it one time a year.
Yeah.
And that's the time I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
Even though it's arguably, well, that's my second or third favorite movie of all time, period.
Yeah.
You know, but I can't watch it just the one time.
It's, man, you know, It's a Wonderful Life. It's one of those movies that I
and
always,
we can review that as because many they have cigars in it.
They do, yes. And the bad guy smokes cigars, yeah. Unfortunately. So,
well, Jimmy Stewart smokes.
Yeah, Jimmy smokes too. That's right. But and he's offered one by the bad guy, mm-hmm. but I don't think he takes it. So mm-hmm. he does take it. Okay,
yeah, he does.
But anyway, but that's one of those movies that, as many times as I've watched it over my lifetime, I always think, it's not going to get me. It's now whatever.
Yeah.
It gets me every time, fucking time, every freaking time, man. I don't know what it is, and, you know. And it's
years ago, it was at Matt's.
Yeah.
And I decided I wasn't going to watch it this year.
Yeah.
And Matt's flipping channels, you know, they had me over for Christmas and it's on. And I'm like, okay, I'm not crying in front of other people. This is not going to happen. I'm sitting there like, and if you don't cry during that movie, I don't want to know you. Yeah. I don't want to know who you are.
You're just not a good human being.
Yeah, you're not.
Or you're one of these entitled shits that's never seen a black and white movie or whatever. You know, exactly. That's a different story. But mm-hmm. we had a pretty good Thanksgiving. Had a lot of family over. Had a turkey, ham, all the things you could off, you know, possibly think that you could have at a Thanksgiving dinner was there. Mm-hmm. Then Phil came over later in the evening because he was, you know, wanting to chill out a little bit. So he came over. We smoked a couple cigars in the garage and. I had a dartboard sitting in a corner forever, probably close to a year.
Yeah.
And I finally was just like, you know what? I'm in the garage. I'm going to play some darts. He's like, hell yeah. So we put it up and threw some darts.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw that picture on Facebook. I'm like, dartboard? I never seen the dartboard before.
It was one of those back in the day when I worked.
So that was your Mexican bathroom.
Yes, that's Mexican bathroom, yeah.
Yeah.
Back in the day when I worked at Bank of America, that you would earn these points for being a good employee, I guess. People would mm-hmm. give you these little things and you'd earn points and you could buy stuff on this site.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I bought was a dartboard and it sat there. I just never used it. Yeah. Got buried basically when I was going through the garage. I found it. I'm like, oh, hey.
Yeah.
So that was fun. We had a good time. It was the first very official cool. This May Hurt versus Cigars and Cinema tournament.
Yeah. Dark tournament.
I lost. Unfortunately. By a point.
Oh, thanks.
By a point.
Thank you.
At my house.
And he's Jewish.
I know.
You can't lose to a Jew.
Son of a bitch. I should have put my swastika on or something and just fucked my little armband on and just messed with him. He's like, oh.
Put bacon all around yourself.
Right. Bacon. Like bacon wrapped darts so you can't pick him up. Oh, I can't touch him. We're horrible people.
Philip knows we're joking.
I know, I know.
I ran into him Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Out in Fuego and Frisco.
Yeah.
Just briefly, though. But yeah, he was leaving, and I introduced him to my friend, and I said, oh, and by the way, he's Jewish. That was funny. Yeah, funny.
I think I said something like that when I introduced him to my family, and... my wife's like, oh, you want anything? We got pie. We got all this Thanksgiving food left over. He's like, oh, no, I'm fine. He's like, yeah, he can't have anything. He's Jewish. He's like, what the hell's that got to do with anything?
Certainly can't have ham.
Right. Everything in this house is touched ham, so you can't have anything in here. Don't touch those darts. You lose automatically.
It's fun when you can do that.
It is. Yeah. It is. Especially when you have friends that are okay with it.
Yeah, just, exactly.
Go with the flow. You know?
Exactly.
And so many Mexican jokes getting thrown my way, it's not even funny. So, but it's all in good fun. It's all in good fun.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah. And that's part of the, you know, part of the Brotherhood of the Leaf and, you know, having guy friends that smoke cigars. It's all about the ball busting and enjoying a good smoke together. So, you got to love that. So that kind of... clears it out there. I think we've covered this as much as we can. Is there anything else you want to add before we go?
I think we're good. Just watch this movie if you haven't seen it, and if you haven't seen it in a while, watch it again.
Yeah.
It's classic.
Definitely worth it. Definitely worth it. So where can they find us, Randy?
iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podcastland, Podomatic, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. I am at Randy Rankin 43 on Twitter and at Randy Rankin 95 on Instagram.
All right. And I'm at Captain Funky Pants on Twitter. And we do have the Cigars in Cinema Twitter. And we do have a Cigars in Cinema Instagram as well. And you can also find me separately on Instagram at Cigars_Luna. So as always, It's been great smoking with you.
See you later, Brandon.
See you later, Randy.